Welcome to episode 10 of the Bushwalking, Canyoning and Outdoor Community. Sit back, grab your favourite drink and enjoy today's episode. Today I am recording this episode from one of my favourite places in the world, my garage, or what I like to call the canyoning compound. It's my little slice of the earth where I store my outdoor equipment, along with my tools and my office. It may be small, but I like it. But I ask myself, why do I start the episode this way? I want you to think about your favourite place that reminds you of your outdoor adventures. It may be looking at photos on your phone, being in the backyard surrounded by plants and nature, or catching up with a mate and regaling of silly stories and the ones that got away. Either way, when we can't be in the outdoors, there's always an association that can be made that can put a smile on our face. Anyway, as usual, this episode is brought to you by Bogan Canyoning. Why don't you have a go? Today I thought I might take the opportunity to discuss two interesting points from some recent events from late 2022 and early 2023. One view I'll talk about relates to the worries I have about being underprepared in the outdoors, and the other relates to not stepping outside of your comfort zone. Before the advent of the internet, word of beautiful natural places were spread through friends, books, and associations like bushwalking clubs. You may even get the odd newspaper article, but I've heard, from what I've heard within the Blue Mountains canyoning world, the publication of Rick Jamieson's Canyons Near Sydney led to some real eye-opening events for some, and outrage from others for letting people know that they existed. The spread of the internet in the 90s led to a greater awareness of canyoning, the locations of canyons, and greater impacts upon the natural environment as more people went to explore these amazing places. Again, there was outrage from some people that had once kept this knowledge to themselves. And again, greater amounts of people went out into the wilderness to explore these amazing places. Now, you may be wondering why I'm relaying a history lesson. Well, these days we have things like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, GPS apps, and whatever else. I'm a bloke in my 30s, and I'm not as up to date with these new communication sharing channels that are available these days. These options, however, have provided greater awareness of what may have been out-of-the-way places or places only known to locals. In a world of FOMO, or fear of missing out, or YOLO, you only live once, and wanting to look like we are doing something with our lives, we may rush to these new locations and get our perfect Insta photo to share it with our friends. But have you ever wondered what impact this may have on these heavily shared locations? I only got a message off Wifey last night showing some before and after photos of the figure eight pools down near Wollongong. 5 years ago, these weren't heavily trafficked areas. I mean, they're absolutely amazing bits of the world, and the natural formations that occur. You know, I'm not surprised that people rush to get their photos taken there, to explore them, to check them out. The before photo just shows how truly beautiful these figure eight pools were. They were clear, sparkling, water in them, and you know, there was even sea life in it. Though the after photo shows a completely different story. They're now murky in colour, the water's stained. It looks like it's been heavily impacted by people sitting in the figure eight pools to get those photos. So while I'd planned on writing and saying things in particular for this episode, it was interesting that it just had to come up the day before I was going to record this podcast. Anyway, being the old person that I am most active on Facebook, and I'm seeing the damage that some popular places, I'm starting to see the damage to some popular places, and some that have only just became popular. A regular sharing on a Facebook page called Blue Mountains New South Wales Waterfall Chasers shows the level of waste left behind near Wentworth Falls. There are these lazy shits that can't be fucked carrying out their rubbish. From the photos, it doesn't look like this rubbish is particularly heavy, so I'm assuming that they're a new class of minimalist, ultra-lightweight hiker. It's either that, or they just can't be fucked carrying it out. The worst part is that they've made this effort to actually hide the rubbish behind rocks and leaves. It does make me want to cry. So I ask, please don't be that person. And if you see someone do it, please educate them. We need to protect our wild areas. Next up, I've got another whinge. Surprise. Who hasn't been inspired by the hashtag Lost Mountains and their books Wild, Epic, and This Ain't the City? Not that I need to promote the books, as they do a pretty damn good job of it themselves. I've glanced through these books and I see that they offer some amazing photos, blended in with QR codes for information, promotions for local businesses, and they plug accommodation and restaurant options for places I will never be able to afford. But I worry about two things. The crowds that wander off with their directions being underprepared for the journey they are about to undertake, and the censorship by hashtag Lost Mountains of anything that doesn't suit their story. This gives people a false sense of confidence that they know where they're going and that they can rely on technology to get them there. In turn, you don't have the opportunity to hear the downsides or the negatives that occur with the impacts of going to these natural places. Further to this, I've got three stories that I'd like to associate with these people. But to be honest, I can't exactly say that there are any other people out there that are any better. There are plenty of influencers, social media specialists, and other promoters that do a damn good job promoting these areas, along with people that publish books with a similar theme. My first story relates to so-called secret water holes. Two which have been more heavily promoted in recent times are the pools at the end of Fortress Creek and the cavern within Dalpura Canyon. Fortress Creek has become the next big thing, with an increase in visitation over the last few years, coming to a head this summer of 2022-23. This area was once the official end of the Fortress Canyon, but it's become a buzz with people that are able to walk in. If you aren't sure, check out your social media accounts and do a search. Some people have trekked off to do this walk and take a swim. Others even take their barbecues. And a few also take their favourite alcoholic beverages. You know what? There's nothing wrong with them, because if they want to take this gear and they're happy to carry it in and carry it out, that's on them. But when you go unprepared and get yourself hurt, that's when I have a bit of a problem. There is nothing like a broken leg and a helicopter ride to finish your Insta story. It might be your 5 minutes of fame, but unfortunately, this group that decided that they could hurt themselves were not prepared for the situation. They had no PLB, they had no first aid kit, and it was just by luck that a local Kenyaning group did have this gear and were able to set the wheels in motion to get them out. So what's the lesson? Be prepared when going bush. Refer to my earlier podcast on how to be prepared when you go bush, or check out Caro Ryan's Lots of Fresh Air website, or Google equipment to take hiking. You should not have to rely on other groups to hit a PLB. My second story relates to swimming at Dalpura Canyon. This is a mint place for a swim, though it is a bit cold in there. I'm not going to give the track notes, but I'm sure you'll find them. This is not an easy walk in for the average person because of the access to the area. The track is a bit rough and unstable, and you've got to backtrack up a canyon in which to access the area. As I say, for the average walker, this might be beyond their ability, so be prepared. Make sure that your fitness is up to it. And the big lesson for this one, if you do decide to undertake this sort of walk or something similar, is to research it. Make sure that you and the people that you are going to take have the ability to make it. Also know how to walk with minimal impact, as this area is a sensitive area. I'm waiting for a rescue from this place, but let's hope that it doesn't occur. My final word of warning about undertaking the Daupiro Cavern swim is to just watch out for ropes from above. Kenyans have this magical ability for ropes to just come out of nowhere and whack you on the head. It is a popular abseil point. My last story about this relates to Butterbox Canyon. Now, a few months after the release of This Ain't the City, a couple of years ago, a rescue had occurred in Butterbox Canyon, or Mount Hay as some like to call it. Whichever you prefer to call it, the long story short is that some young fellas read about this epic canyon, and let me tell you, it is a pretty epic canyon. They saw the amazing photos and thought, shit, let's do it. Though they got into trouble after they released, went through the canyon. They didn't realise that the equipment they have was not going to do the job for them. So not only did they not have the right equipment, they found themselves benighted. Luckily, there was no injuries and they got a free helicopter ride home. Lessons, do your research and don't attempt anything too far beyond your ability. Butterbox is not considered an easy canyon to be introduced to this amazing sport. It's actually probably the most popular advanced level canyon in the Blue Mountains. So that might be a good way to get that fix. Finally, I do worry about the fine line between making money off these amazing adventure areas or outdoor areas and the ethics associated with them. At what point do we consider the almighty dollar acceptable at the destruction of the environment? This is not a new argument in the outdoor industry, but I do hold my worries that we are reaching a tipping point from which these areas will be wrecked beyond belief. Now, I did say that this podcast was going to look at the other side of the coin, and here we are. I stumbled across a blog on the internet from a bloke that owns a guiding company within the Blue Mountains. I won't name him, but he represents a very different view to what we've talked about today. This bloke is a fully qualified and life-experienced guy, and he only offers easier walks, explorations, and vehicle trips. Admittedly, he has this section of the market well covered. He just needs to promote more. My issue is the blame he puts on people in the blog. He has a particular grudge against bushwalking clubs and people that go beyond their ability of expertise. I have mentioned before that you shouldn't push too far beyond your skill level, but you should push it a little bit. How will you learn otherwise? As happens in the outdoors, and very unfortunately, there are fatalities. There are always going to be lessons to be learnt from this. But this bloke, he talks about blaming the authorities and training institutes for an individual's actions. I will never understand his view. You can teach people all the processes and systems in the world, but if they don't follow them, either accidentally or deliberately, there will be a consequence. According to some workplace training I've done in the past, 90% of bad events occur because it's something to do with other than the individual. Another interesting fact is that when we are doing something that is a habit or without thinking, we do have an error rate of once in every 1,000 goes. It gets even more interesting from here. If we do things from memory or by a rule, we will screw up every once in 100 times. But if we think that we can think our way out of a particular situation or half-ass it, you've got a 10 to 50% error rate, meaning that you could hurt yourself. They are not good statistics at this end of things. So what am I saying about what this bloke has to say and about comfort levels? Whether you are taking a new Insta photo in a new location or doing a Kenyan that you've done 50 times before, you should always be prepared and know what your comfort level is. Respect the environment, respect yourself, and respect others that will follow in your footsteps. Because I don't want people to be rescuing you because you're not prepared. And I don't want to see your favorite places destroyed so you can gain your 5 seconds of TikTok fame. Enjoy the outdoors, but don't cock up. Well, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you have any feedback, advice, or have a suggestion for the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. See the show notes for the contact details. And finally, today's letter of the alphabet is J. And J is for jacket. Make sure the jacket you take on your hike is appropriate for the weather. Whether Gore-Tex, polar fleece, or wool, ensure it is comfortable, warm, and does the job that it's designed to do. It may save your life. Cheers.